Hi, my name is Barry Lewis. People know me around the city as the PBS historian guy. I've done a series of local video walks of our neighborhoods around New York for the local PBS station. I'm down here in Tribeca in front of Tribeca Cinemas, 54 Varick Street, one of the main venues for the Tribeca Film Festival, which of course is brought to you by American Express. And we're going to be taking a look at the Tribeca neighborhood with Billy Cohn, contributing editor to Time Out New York. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Barry. How you doing?
We are bouncing around from one neighborhood to another, all of them interesting.
I know. And when we're done bouncing around historical aspects of Tribeca, I'll point out some of the restaurants and shops that people can check out as they're walking around.
Well, if we were here about 200 years ago, we'd need galoshes and we'd be swatting mosquitoes.
Now you're just swatting models and actors and families.
I don't know which one is more annoying. Back then, this was actually a swampy marshland that drained off of the collect pond. There was a deep pond on the other side of the island, which is now the civic center where the courthouses are.
Oh, the collect pond that became Five Points, where the gangs in New York stuff all happened.
That's right, exactly. And that collect pond drained off through this marshland. The land was called the Lispinard Meadows.
Oh, Lispinard Street.
Lispinard Street is one block below Canal Street, just a little east of here. And actually, those marshlands were so pesky, New York couldn't grow. It was down at Wall Street. It's growing northward. The marshes are locking us in. You know, the only way to get out of town by road in those days was either to go over to the Hudson River shoreline. A little dirt road on filled-in land was the road to Greenwich.
To Connecticut?
We are not talking about Connecticut here. We're talking about Greenwich Village. That's where that road went to. It's now called Greenwich Street. It's only two streets over from where we are, and as a matter of fact, on Greenwich Street is where the Tribeca Film Center is at Franklin Street, and then a few blocks below that is the Tribeca Performing Arts Center, which is part of Manhattan Community College, which, quite frankly, back in the 18th century, would have been in the middle of the Hudson River, so we'd be watching the films from rowboats.
Oh, so they filled in a lot of what's west of here with landfill.
That's right. Just on the other side of the traffic circle we're looking at is Hudson Street. That was the original shoreline. Greenwich Street is after that. That's filled in land. And beyond that, filled in land as well.
When did that happen?
Oh, the 19th century, when we were making a lot of money and we needed more land to make more money from. Well, they had to get rid of this water to let the city grow. So they built a drainage canal to drain off the water of the collect pond and the marsh. This was no Venetian canal with gondoliers, believe me. It was strictly a functional Yankee drainage canal. It's right there under Canal Street.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there is a canal under Canal Street.
Is there still?
Yes, it's still flowing the way it did 200 years ago. Once the water's gone, this area becomes a Tony upscale residential district. It was the Upper East Side of New York of the 1810s and 20s. As a matter of fact, you see the swirls of traffic in front of us that are going into the Midtown Tunnel?
Yeah.
This entire open space, that's all for the traffic for the tunnel, both exiting and entering. This was built in the 1800s as a beautiful London-style residential square.
Really? It looks a little different now.
Just like the ones in the West End. That's the kind of residential square it was. But this isn't London, it's New York. In London, those squares are still good places to live 200-300 years after they've been built. New York, 50 years, it's finished.
Right, well, everything changes really fast in New York.
Comes the 1860s, the wealthy of St. John's Park get up, move out, move uptown. St. John's Park is destroyed, the whole place goes commercial. As a matter of fact, it's in the 1850s, the Port of New York flipped.
What do you mean it flipped?
Well, from the city's founding by the Dutch in the 1600s, the sailboats preferred the East River. You know the South Street Seaport?
Right, yeah.
Which is right near Schimmel Center.
Oh, yeah.
Pace University Schimmel Center. That was the original port of New York. By the 1850s, steamboats and railroads preferred the Hudson River. The whole port shifts to the Hudson River side of the island. All the industrial and commercial buildings we see surrounding us right now, they all come about beginning in the 1850s. You see the low-rise ones, 5 and 6 stories on the north side of what used to be St. John's Park?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first generation. Walk-ups, 1850s and 60s. You see the higher buildings on the south side of what used to be St. John's Park? Those 12-story, 15-story buildings. Beautiful neo-Romanesque, straightforward, American Yankee commercial style. No nonsense, just build it and rent it out. But really pretty. And then, by the 1930s, you see the huge building north of Canal Street?
The sort of triangular-looking
one? It's at this oblique angle, absolutely. That building goes up in 1930. Look at all that glass. Even with its Art Deco decoration, it's as modern as any of the glass condos they build today. That has recently been remodeled into first-class office space. It's amazing how this place changes. Well, by the 1970s, the area is losing its appeal to manufacturers and warehouse people. Industry is going elsewhere. What happens? Artists who are being priced out of Soho, just to the north of us across Canal Street, they start discovering Tribeca.
Oh, well, then once the artists move in, that's when a neighborhood becomes hot.
It happens all the time. Look what's happening to Williamsburg in Brooklyn.
It's the same thing.
Dumbo in Brooklyn.
Right.
Same thing.
Every neighborhood. The artists move in, and then rents get too expensive for anyone else.
Well, in those days, I remember when square foot down here was $1 to $2 a square foot. Yes. And it was illegal to live here, just like it was in Soho.
Oh, because everything was zoned for commercial, not for residential.
That's right. So you had to have blackout shades on your windows, so at night the building inspectors would not know you were living there. And you even had fold-away kitchens and bathrooms.
Wow, they went to a great extent to hide.
You had to, otherwise the city would throw you out. In the 1970s, when the artists started living here, down along the waterfront was a whole stretch of landfill from the World Trade Center construction, from Chamber Street South to the Battery.
When they were digging up the ground to make way for the World Trade Center, they just moved it over to the west side?
That's right. And they were going to build, but in the 1970s, the economy was terrible. The city was almost going bankrupt. So what did the city do? They trucked in sand, and they covered the landfill with sand and turned it into Tribeca Beach.
There was a beach.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Was it a hit? Was it popular?
Well, they had a program called Art on the Beach. And it included, there was sculpture, there was outdoor sculpture. There was dance concerts on the beach. There were all kinds of performance art on the beach.
Oh, this is almost like a precursor to what they have now in the summer. Because, well, one, there's public art along Battery Park City all year round. But in the summer in Tribeca and Battery Park, there are a lot of free events like that. Dance and art and performances. So I wonder if that's what inspired it.
I think the roots of that go back to the Tribeca Beach, back to the 1970s.
Oh, cool.
Well, the place catches on. The 1980s come around. The economy improves. And we begin to see Tribeca coming back to life, but a new life, a residential life, the life we can see around us today. By 1988, the Tribeca Film Center is founded over on Greenwich Street by Robert De Niro and Jane Rosenthal. By 2002, the Tribeca Film Festival that we're part of, that begins. A couple of years before, in 2000, the Tribeca Grand Hotel, just a few blocks south of where we are, that opens up. Another example of the coming back of Tribeca and Soho in these downtown neighborhoods as residential districts is the building of Hudson River Park. 5 miles of riverfront promenades from Battery Park City, just below us, all the way up to 59th Street, where it will hook up with a new extension of Riverside Park. Oh, already they've opened up by Greenwich Village, the Christopher Street Pier. This is going to be a beautiful section of the Hudson River Park in a couple of years when they complete it. You know, right down here at North Moore, near where Tribeca Film Center is, will be the longest pier of the entire Hudson River Park stretch. It's all under construction now. It will open up this neighborhood to the riverfront. It will really change the way this neighborhood and the city feels about the rivers.
Yeah, they've been working on that river park for years, and it's really bringing a whole green necklace to the west side of it.
You know, the quality of that design really begins with Battery Park City's promenade in the 1980s. And remember, that's where the Museum of Jewish Heritage is located, and the Skyscraper Museum at the very beginning of that promenade. So Tribeca is it's changing, I think, as we're talking.
One of the places that really helped instigate that change was the Odeon, the restaurant, the Odeon. It was one of the first trendy restaurants to really open up down here, and that was more than 25 years ago.
Odeon is my youth.
It's down on West Broadway between Duane and Thomas Streets. It's a French bistro. They have cocktails, they have brunch, and its Art Deco sign on the outside is really an icon of Tribeca. It was on the cover of Jay McInerney's Bright Lights, Big City, so people are familiar with it even if they've never been there.
It's really become a classic of the downtown scene.
It has. Another classic is City Hall, which is a little farther down. On
the
Duane
restaurant,
Street.
Not the political.
Exactly. It's on Duane Street between Church Street and West Broadway.
That's a great restaurant, City Hall.
It is. It's an American brasserie, steak, seafood, that kind of thing. It's actually in a former shoe factory. The building is from 1863.
Well, that was the shoe district back in the late 19th century.
Oh, I didn't realize that, so that makes sense. And then inside, it has some of that old-time grandeur. It's like, it feels like the 1920s. There are cast iron pillars and a checkerboard floor. So it really has an old New York kind of feel.
You really think it's been there forever?
Yeah. And it's a great place if you're on jury duty. You can sneak away for lunch. Good place to go. A little farther north, crossing canal, on Mulberry Street is Il Cortile. It's an Italian restaurant on one of the last kind of cool remaining streets of Little Italy. Mulberry is where they have the San Gennaro Festival in the fall, and there's restaurants lining it up and down. There's a lot of energy on that street. So.
Now remember, that's north of Canal Street.
Yes, not technically Tribeca, but it is just across, so it's worth exploring some of the other things in the area. It won't kill you to cross canal. Though some people who live downtown would say that, right? And then there's shops that have moved into Tribeca over the past few years. You've got Issey Miyake on Hudson Street at North Moore.
That's a beautiful block, North Moore.
Yeah,
between
really
Hudson
nice.
And Greenwich. Beautiful.
And there's some boutiques there. And Issey Miyake is a clothing store. They have really sculptural, artistic-looking clothing. It's very modern. It's kind of like origami in a way. There are a lot of folds in it. If you're looking for something a little less expensive, some bargains, you can head to Century 21.
Oh, that's a great New York institution.
That's on Cortland between Church and Broadway. And they have really high-end famous designers, Prada, Gucci, European labels. And you can find them for a fraction of what you would pay in a regular store. So it's a real New York secret. But the real secret is that they have a second location in Bay Ridge. And it's
out in Brooklyn.
Yeah, way out in Brooklyn. So it's a little less crowded than the one downtown. And then there's a ton of other things. There's Kate's Papery back in Soho, which has beautiful wrapping papers and like more than 1,000 ribbons.
That's on Broadway, but that means that's north of Canal Street.
Exactly, Broadway between Prince and Spring Street. And then you've got the Apple Store is also in Soho, Prince at Green Street. Obviously all kinds of Mac things there. One of the other classic shops downtown is J&R Music.
Another great New York institution.
Yeah,
you know in this city, you can always get it cheaper.
Right.
Century 21 and J&R, that's what they're there for.
Yeah, and that's on Park Row. It takes up its own whole block right by City Hall Park.
Near Pace University and the Schimmel Center for
exactly.
the Arts.
Exactly. And they call it J&R Music, but now it's computers and TVs and appliances, cameras, really anything you can think of. And that's just a few of the places that people can check out as they're walking around Tribeca and heading a little north into Soho.
It's every block you go down in this neighborhood today, you find something that wasn't there a couple of years ago.
Exactly.
Well, the people who are coming with us on this podcast, they might like to know, on the same website they downloaded this podcast from, American Express has its Film Rewards promotion program, and also the Tribeca Film Feast.
We love that. We keep talking about how much we love to eat.
Good prices and good restaurants. Well, I think we've just skimmed the surface, but given people an idea of what Tribeca is like. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for us to traipse to another neighborhood, explore a new district, find another part of town.
All right, let's check out another neighborhood.